Shalom Aleichem, my friends. Welcome back. Episode 25 of Await. What are we awaiting? Mashiach is definitely going to be a man. We've clarified that multiple times. And we need to believe in that. At the same time, the redemption seems somewhat beyond deliverance that a human could provide. Are we awaiting a replication of things in the past? We, the Jewish people, found ourselves in difficult circumstances time and again, and there were various saviors. In fact, if you remember, at the very beginning of our series, we analyzed the words of the Rambam, who presents the words of Moshe Rabbeinu as alluding to Shnei HaMashichim, two anointed saviors, David HaMelech, King David, and Mashiach will arise from his descendants. It took David HaMelech a long time to hammer together the 13 tribes of Israel and create a cohesive commonwealth. Are we expecting same? Is Mashiach going to have to introduce himself, get acquainted with the people, have the people begin to actually believe that he is the chosen one, until eventually he can represent a united Jewish people to the whole world, ultimately uniting all of us, bringing us home to the land of Israel? Is that the way it's going to unfold? When you read the codes of Maimonides, Rambam, on a superficial level, it does sound like somewhat of a gradual process. Is this what we await? Well, the Rebbe believed the answer was most definitely not. And his ideas are based on rock-solid foundations of Torah mitzvahs itself. So listen in and see how the Rebbe analyzes the words of the Torah, Hashem's prophetic message to us, to prove that the redemption that we are waiting for is definitely divine. Make no mistake, Mashiach will be a man, and he will have a task, and he'll be appointed and anointed by God to lead the Jewish people and the whole world into peace. But this is divine deliverance that we're awaiting, and divine deliverance can come in a flash. In the words of our sages, in the blink of an eye, keheref ayin. One of the most remarkable collection of verses that represent prophetic profusion, if you will, are the blessings that Father Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, offered to his children just prior to his terrestrial passing. Now, our sages tell us that if you look at the way Parshat Vayechi is written in the Torah, you'll see something is wrong. There isn't the typical opening. And he says Yaakov wanted to reveal secrets. Big secrets. Ultimate secrets, like when Mashiach would come. But suddenly, the window closed. And he didn't have that clarity, so instead, he marshaled his prophetic ability and honed in on the mission, the purpose, and the goal that each and every Shevet, that each of the tribes and their future progeny would have to take. And at the same time, when the blessings end, we hear of Yaakov blessing all of the Shvatim, all of the tribes, which is kind of odd because Reuven doesn't get an overt blessing, neither does Shimon or Levi. Rashi, quoting our sages, tells us all of them received blessings. And all of the blessings are relevant for all of us, only more so for a particular tribe. When it comes to Shevet Dan, this is Genesis, chapter 49, verse 16. Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, metaphorizes, and he says, Dan yodin amai ka'achad shifte Yisrael. Dan, he will judge, or let the tribe of Dan be to his enemies. Pardon me. I'm going to take you to verse. Okay, let's go to verse 16. So, Dan yodin amai. Rashi tells us the tribe of Dan will not judge his people, but rather avenge his people of their enemies. Now, the other tribes of Israel are going to unite behind Dan, and the tribe of Dan will lead us at a certain point. Our sages tell us that this came to pass regarding the famous Nazir, Shimshon. Samson vanquished the Philistines, and although this leader, or I should say, through this leader, Shimshon, Samson, the tribe of Dan would avenge its people as Ka'achad Shifte Yisrael, as will the most distinguished of the tribes of Israel. And that, of course, refers to Yehuda. Yehuda, from whom monarchy will come. Yehuda, from whom Jacob prophetically alludes to, will produce the house of David HaMelech. Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, continues. He says, Yehi don nochosh alei derech. Here, he reaches for metaphorical terms, and he uses the image of a snake on the road. He says, it's a shefifon alei orach, like a viper on the path. Hanoshech ikve sus veyipel rochba ocher. Freely translated, he bites the horse's heel so that the rider falls over backwards. As if to say, he dismounts the enemy without even touching the enemy. Because the snake doesn't touch the armed forces who come to inflict damage on Am Yisrael, but rather, by biting the horse, the snake is able to crush the cavalry. And this prophecy also comes to pass with Shimshon, because all of that is a metaphor. Samson, or Shimshon, ultimately violates his vow of Nezirut. It's a tragic story. And in the end, he's maimed and blinded, and he's chained to the pillars of a temple for an idolatrous deity called Dagon. Shimshon doesn't have the ability to marshal his miraculous strength. And yet, he prays. He prays with all his might that God give him back his might. And when Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, foresaw that God would have to restore Samson's last strength in order to save him so that he could topple the temple and destroy the enemy, he prayed. Yaakov Avinu said, Liyeshuatcha kiviti Hashem. For your salvation, I hope, O God. Now, the Rambam, Maimonides, when he introduces us to his codes, his Mishneh Torah, his magnum opus, he says, all of the mitzvot that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, bepirushon nitnu, they were given with their oral interpretation. As it is written, ve'etno lecho et luchot ha'even ve'ha'torah ve'ha'mitzvah. This is a quote from Exodus 24, verse 12. It says, God says, I'm going to give you the tablets of stone and the Torah and the mitzvah. So there's the tablets of stone, there's the Torah, and there's the mitzvah. And the Rambam says, Torah, that refers to the scripture. Zo Torah shebichtav ve'ha'mitzvah, zo pirusha. The mitzvah refers not to the actions ordained in the Torah, but it's a euphemism for the oral tradition, the oral interpretation. So clearly, if you read these verses on a literal level, Liyeshuatcha kiviti Hashem is Father Jacob's prayer on behalf of one remarkable Jew in one remarkable moment of history. And that's the way Unkelus renders it This is how Rashi explains it. However, if we take a look in the words of the Targum Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem translation of the Torah, as well as the Targum Yonatan, authored by the eldest disciple of Hillel, Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, you find something very different. The Targum Yerushalmi reads, and I quote, Omar Avunon Yaakov, Father Jacob said, Lo lefokono legidon bayosh, I am not anticipating or waiting or hoping for the salvation or deliverance that will come from a man named Gidon. The hu purkan shah, because that's only a timely or temporary deliverance. Lo lefokono de shimshon bar manoach, I am not waiting for the deliverance of Samson. Schias nafshi de hu purkan avur, this is a hope of one's soul for a limited amount of time. That's not the focus. Ella rather, lefurkane schias nafshi, it is for your deliverance. Not for human deliverance, for your deliverance, God. The Amrit Lemasye La'amach Beis Yisrael L'chol L'furkonoch Sechias. I say to the nation of Israel, let us hope for God's salvation. God's salvation, not the salvation of a person. The Targum Yonatan is even more blunt about it. He says, you must understand that Yaakov Avinu was not referring to Gidon and not referring to Shimshon, Samson. The Kaimin Leferoiknin, who did rise to provide salvation. But that's not what he was hoping for. Because Furkon Hoin, Furkon de Shaita, their deliverance of salvation was temporary. Elohein Leferkonoch Sochis, God, it's for your deliverance that we wait. Leferkonoch Furkan Olmin, what we are talking about here is nothing less than eternal deliverance. There is another version in the Targum Yonatan where he doesn't just allude to eternal deliverance, but he specifically mentions the idea, the concept of Mashiach. The Rebbe says, we can see that according to this teaching, and let's remember, everything was given L'Moshe Mesinai. This becomes a Heira Nitzchis. This becomes an eternal lesson, not simply a prophetic commentary about a particular time in history. And the eternal lesson, as the Rebbe saw it, is L'Yishuas Cha, emphasizing the final chaf, lishuat chaf, for your salvation, kivisi Hashem, I await. Der kivisi is nit a Yeshua vasvet kumen a yedei basav adam. This is, I'm reading from a sicha, an edited sicha from the fourth day of Tevis. Pardon me, from the Asara B'Tevis. It was a Wednesday in the year 1981. Probably very early January 81 or late December 1980. The Rebbe says that what we await is not the Yeshua, Vasvet Kumen Ayidei Basar Vadam, not the Yeshua that will come through flesh and blood, be it Gidon or Shimshon. Nor, rather, the eternal meaning of the words is, Li Yeshua Ascha, the Yeshua Vasvet Kumen, von Ebershten Alein, we are waiting for the deliverance that will come from God and God alone. God is the one who takes each and every one out of Galut. And the Rebbe suggests that we take a look in the book of Isaiah, in the very last verse of the 27th chapter. Well, what happens there? The Navi, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, ends with an agricultural metaphor. In his metaphor, he speaks about the beating of an olive tree. That's how you harvest olives. You don't go picking little olives one at a time. You hit the tree or shake the tree so that the olives fall out. And so, Yeshayahu HaNavi said, V'hoya b'yeimahu, it'll come to pass on that day. Yachboit Hashem Mishiboiles hanohor ad nachal Mitzrayim. On that day, God will thrash, shake. It's a euphemism, a metaphor. His olives, in other words, it's a process that sometimes causes smaller branches to break. Hashem is going to do it in the entire area from the river or the torrent of the river in the east all the way, which is generally spoken to as the confluence of the Euphrates and the Tigris. It's a very strong current until the stream or the Gulf of Egypt, which is in the west. And then Yeshayahu HaNavi continues to describe how God will gather the Jewish people together after causing a shakeup. He says, and then, Va'atem tuluktu la'echad echad b'nei Yisrael. And then you will be gathered one by one, like little olives, children of Israel. It's not going to be Mashiach's job to find every single member of Am Yisrael and bring them home. God says, that's my job. And I will bring everyone home. So when we say in Ashmon Esrei, Lishuascha kivinu kol hayoyim, we await your salvation, not every day, but all day, we are not waiting for a man to deliver us. We're waiting for redemption that comes from God himself. The Rebbe continues in the Sicha, the Rebishter geht mit Eden in Golus. God went into exile with each of us. Und er geht arois von Golus mit ze zusammen, and he leaves Golus together with him. Here, the Rebbe is referring to a Gemara in Masechet Megillah. That Gemara is found on page 29b, and it reads like this. Tanya Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer. It is taught in a Braisa. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, Bo yurei kamo chavivin Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, come and see how beloved, how cherished are the Jewish people before the Holy One, blessed be He. Shebechol mokim shegalu shechina imahem. In every place that they are exiled, the divine presence went with them. Galu leMitzrayim shechina imahem. When they were exiled to Egypt, the divine presence went with them. As it is written, Hanigla niglesi lebeisavicha behiyosam bimitzrayim. Quote, did I reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt? Did I reveal myself is the question. Not if I was there. The Gemara goes on to speak about a much later exile. Galu leBavel, we were exiled to Babylon. Shechina imahem, the divine presence, went with them. Shenemar lemanchem shalachti bavela, as it is stated, for your sake I have sent to Babylon. And so too in the future, when we will be redeemed, va'af kishehina sidin ligoel shechina imahem, when we are going to be redeemed, the shechina will be with us. Shenemar v'shov Hashem aleikecha, Almighty God is going to return with your captivity. It doesn't say He will bring back. V'heishiv le'nemar, it says v'shov. It doesn't say He will bring back or cause the Jewish people to return. It says He will return. And that teaches us, melamed, sh'akodesh baruch hu shov imoyen mibein agolius, that the Holy One, blessed be, He will return together with us from amidst every place we are exiled to. My dear friends, we are waiting for a redemption. A redemption that will come, as the Rebbe said, that this Almighty God who promised that He is with us and will return with us, bring the geula in anefen fin liyishuas cho. He is going to bring Mashiach. He is going to take us home. His redemption. Al derech v'mizok tigede togen davenen, as we say every day in our davening, liyishuas cho kivinu kol hayoyim. Of course, Mashiach will be a man. But this is not human deliverance that we await. May we merit to experience the geula, Ayidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'atzmai, the redemption by God Himself, as He sends us His righteous, appointed, and anointed servant Mashiach, B'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thank you so much for joining.